If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Urban Outfitters, Fenty Beauty, and Expedia. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Late Night Casual Thursday. So, we were planning on doing our show tonight, and then on Monday, we were going to start doing shows without an audience. But basically, things are moving very fast. I don't need to tell you that. And our guests, with great reason, decided that they didn't feel right coming in and doing the show tonight, so we decided to cancel it, and we don't know when we are going to start doing shows again. But we had written a closer look last night, and the closer look is about everything that's happening right now. And really, the reason we're going to do this right now is that once it's on the cards, Wally makes us do it. So, here's the closer look that was written last night about the president's address to the nation. And, go to the next one, Wally. Sorry, I jumped you. And the administration's failed response to the pandemic, and we thought we should go ahead and do it. So, for more on this, it's time for a closer look. So, we're in this weird moment right now where it's difficult for the media and public health experts to convey the severity of what's happening without sounding hysterical. It's like being the one person in a horror movie who knows they're in a horror movie. Like, all the sexy teens are like, guys, I have an idea. Let's go skinny dipping in the pool during the full moon. And then there's a doctor in a lab coat standing there screaming, statistically speaking, this is werewolf time. Public health experts are warning us that we're failing badly, and those are the people we need to listen to. For example, one said today the lack of testing in the United States is a debacle, and another said this is an unmitigated disaster that the administration has brought upon the population. And on top of that, things just feel very surreal and weird right now. Case in point, if you tuned in a few minutes early to watch the president's address to the nation at 9 p.m. last night, and you chose to watch it on Fox, you would have caught the tail end of the masked singer, in which case this is what you would have seen moments before the president addressed a worried nation from the Oval Office.
You get sprung!
Yeah. Yeah, we're sprung. That is Sarah Palin singing Baby Got Back. That was so depressing, Sir Mix-a-Lot immediately wrote a sequel called Baby Got Prozac. Also, if we're encouraging people to avoid large crowds, I'm not sure it's the right message to promote a song by someone named Mix-a-Lot. If anything, you should, Cardi, be careful, and if you feel sick, stay home like an outcast. And by the way, we also, I should let you know, have a full audience tonight. The weirdest thing about that clip was that the president immediately followed it up by giving his speech as the frog. So that's what you saw if you tuned into the speech early. But if you watched it on C-SPAN and stayed until the end, you might have seen an equally weird moment when C-SPAN forgot to turn the feed off and we got to see a rare glimpse of the president after his speech was over. Now, during this speech, you could see just how hard Trump was straining to read the teleprompter and strike a somber tone. I mean, look at him. He looks like a long-haul trucker blasting the radio and slapping himself in the face to stay awake. If you walked in on your teenage son and his buddies in the basement and their eyes looked like that, you'd immediately say, all right, who brought the doobies? Because you'd be an older generation. He should be surrounded by a cloud of pot smoke. So, Trump's face was frozen in this bizarre forced grimace in a desperate attempt to project strength amid his flailing response to the pandemic. But then, after the speech ended, C-SPAN forgot to cut the feed, and this happened.
We're clear.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, man. He reacted to his speech the way the rest of us reacted to it. Okay. That was weird. It's like if FDR had said yesterday, December 7th, a day which will live in infamy, the United States was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. So, like, that just happened. Also, it's so weird to see a rare glimpse of Trump dropping the act of pretending to be a competent person. When he's trying to act like a president, he tightens his face and narrows his eyes. And then when he thinks the cameras are off, he's like a grandpa unbuckling his belt after a big meal. Okay. Oh, that Sizzler buffet did not know what was coming. The relief on Trump's face was palpable, probably because he struggled, as usual, to squint his way through a prepared teleprompter speech without screwing up. And yet he repeatedly failed. Right off the bat, for example, he had trouble reading the word continuing and in his usual style tried to pretend his mistake was actually correct.
I am confident that by counting and continuing to take these tough measures.
I'm starting to think the president might be a maroon and a moron. You can't start a sentence with the words, I am confident, if you're not even confident you can make it through the sentence without screwing up. Seriously, dude, just wear glasses. I know you don't want to look like an egghead, but don't worry. No one will think you are smart. This is one case where glasses won't fool anyone. No one's going to see you in glasses and think, whoa, who's that man of letters? You should wear something age-appropriate, like those old man glasses Jerry's dad wore in Seinfeld, or a pair of glasses with a chain around the neck like you're playing Mahjong. Although I'd never expect you to learn how to play Mahjong. I'm confused. Is that your Zhang or Mahjong? Now, look, if you're at home right now with someone and you high-five them because of how good that joke was, wash your hands. So that did not inspire confidence, but worse than that was the fact that Trump said multiple things in his speech that turned out to be flat-out wrong. And I'm not just talking about the usual stuff, like the fact that he lies nonstop. I mean, he got his own policies wrong, forcing the White House to issue several clarifications after the speech, walking back what Trump said.
We will be suspending all travel from Europe to the United States for the next 30 days. And these prohibitions will not only apply to the tremendous amount of trade and cargo, but various other things as we get approval.
He said there will be exceptions. He didn't spell them out, but he talked about people who are adequately screened will be accepted from that. And something about cargo. It wasn't clear.
Within the past hour, the acting Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security posted a tweet saying the travel restrictions don't apply to American citizens or legal permanent residents or their families, which makes it difficult to exactly see how this will prevent the spread of the virus. Also, the White House issued a clarification saying the president misspoke and the ban does not apply to cargo either.
My God, this is an address to the nation from the Oval Office, and they're backpedaling like a husband who accidentally called his wife's friend hot. No, honey, I think Janet's ugly. I just meant she has no air conditioning. So Trump got the one big announcement from this speech about banning travel from Europe wrong. That was the biggest part. That would have been like Sarah Palin rapping, I like flat butts. Can you imagine Donald Trump trying to spit bars like that? I like big boats and big butts. Also, public health experts are telling us this idea of banning travel from Europe makes no sense. I mean, you do know the virus is already here, right? There were already over 1,200 cases in the U.S. as Trump was speaking, and that's with hardly anyone being tested. Do you not know that? Are you 2 weeks behind on your DVR? I can't wait to catch up on Bachelor. Peter's mom, Barb, seems like a real chill lady. Look, man, you can't build a wall. I had somebody told me that it was a joke that made sense. Look, man, you can't build a wall to keep out a virus unless you're willing to build 300 million walls around each and every American. Trump also called the pandemic a foreign virus in his speech. It's all part of a racist playbook Trump has picked up from the right-wing media. And it's no surprise since the speech was written by everybody's favorite horror movie lab assistant, Stephen Miller. By the way, and apropos of nothing, he's 1 year younger than Katy Perry. Just a thing. That's just a reminder that racism is a terrible moisturizer. Anyway, Miller and his ilk in the conservative media have been doing everything they can to paint the virus as somehow foreign and specifically associating it with China.
This is the most aggressive and comprehensive effort to confront a foreign virus in modern history.
When it comes to this problem that the country is facing with Chinese corona,
they've been working on this Chinese coronavirus.
The Chinese coronavirus, the Chinese coronavirus, the Chinese coronavirus.
We call it a Chinese virus or the Wuhan virus.
You called it the Wuhan virus. And that's an accurate way to depict where it's coming from.
We should probably call it the Wuhan virus so that they get full credit.
The most encouraging thing is actually happening out of China, who started this whole thing.
Their measures at containing it have actually worked.
They started it and have yet to apologize.
No, I'm sorry, Brian. Are you waiting on an apology from China? Is that going to make you feel better? Do you want them to send you a Fudgy the Whale that says sorry about the virus? Here's an easy tip to follow during this pandemic. Don't be racist. Also, don't be dumb. If we're going to start changing the names of every bad thing to reflect the country where it started, then we should probably rename the KFC Double Down the American Heart Attack Sandwich. Not only is this racist, but it's also not going to stop the virus from spreading here because that's already happening. What we're seeing right now is what experts call exponential growth. We saw it in Italy, where the entire country is on lockdown right now, and experts say we're basically on the same trajectory as Italy, which is currently in the midst of a massive public health crisis and has resulted in them shutting down almost every store in the country.
January 31st, Italy had 2 people known to be infected. Within a week, February 6th, that had risen to 3 people. 2 weeks after that, they were up to 17 people. 3 days later, by February 24th, 219 people. 4 days later, February 28th, 821 cases. Just over a week later, March 6th, 3,916 cases. 4 days later, as of yesterday, it's 10,149 cases. That's yesterday. Today, it's up 12,462 cases.
In the U.S., 4 weeks ago, we had 15 cases. Just over a week ago, we had 100 cases. Today, we have over 1,200 cases. The U.S. is right now following almost the exact same trajectory, just a week behind.
Italy has locked down the entire country, halted all commercial activity. Just a quote here, Italy on Wednesday ramped up the severity of its national lockdown, ordering a halt to nearly all commercial activity aside from supermarkets and pharmacies.
Damn, can you imagine every store in America being empty? If you can't, just picture any CVS at 4 p.m. Hello, does anybody work here? Excuse me, you in the CVS coat. But lest you think Italians aren't making the best of the situation, think again. In fact, they're offering us some valuable lessons on how to make it through the crisis and keep your spirits up at the same time. Here's video of a Roman man wearing a costume designed to keep people at least 1 meter away from him to prevent the spread of disease. Amazing. He looks like he's playing Saturn in a school play. Forget Sarah Palin. That guy should be on The Masked Singer.
Before I sing, I have a question. The lady with the glasses, she was going to be a vice president? Okay.
In fact, the outbreak has already had a major impact on virtually every aspect of society, from sports to travel to Hollywood.
Movie stars are not immune from the coronavirus. Actor Tom Hanks has revealed that he now has the virus, along with his wife, Rita Wilson.
The annual Coachella Music Festival in California has been postponed.
In Washington, the National Cathedral will be closing for at least 2 weeks.
California, Oregon, Washington State have now banned gatherings of more than 250 people.
Here in the city of New York, the St. Patrick's Day Parade, which sees millions of spectators every year, is canceled this year.
United States Senator Maria Cantwell, who represents the state of Washington, a member of her staff, has tested positive for the coronavirus.
The NBA announcing they are suspending their season until further notice upon the completion of tonight's games.
Wow, the NBA is suspending all games indefinitely. That's insane. It is terrible news for NBA fans and every team except the Knicks. The losing stops tonight. Now, we're obviously wishing the best to Tom Hanks, Rita Wilson, and anyone who comes in contact with or is vulnerable to this pandemic. But last night on MSNBC, President Obama's former Ebola czar, Ron Klain, said the Hanks story is especially revealing because they were actually in Australia when they were tested. If they had been here instead, thanks to the testing debacle we're experiencing in the U.S., they might not have been able to get tested at all.
President talked tough on travel, and in the meantime, we weren't getting ready on testing. We had warning that this was coming and the kind of numbers it's coming, and we're still sitting here having a conversation about testing. Tom Hanks got tested because he was in Australia. If Tom Hanks was in New York, it would be almost impossible for him to get tested.
That's insane. Americans would have better odds of getting tested if they flew to Australia, just like they'd have better odds of being whisked away in a romantic adventure with a charismatic crocodile hunter in the outback. This is what Trump should have been focused on in his speech, massively ramping up testing, surging the capacity of our healthcare system, and taking care of the millions of vulnerable Americans who are about to face personal and economic hardships because of this pandemic. Millions of people are without paid sick leave and health insurance, and layoffs and workplace closures could leave working people struggling to make ends meet. We should be providing those people with immediate and direct help. Instead, as of this moment, the Trump administration is still moving forward with a truly sadistic plan to kick 700,000 people off food stamps, right as a global pandemic tanks the world economy.
The president has a plan to cut 700,000 people off of food stamps, low-income people. And they said, do you still plan to cut them off of food stamps on April 1st, when those are the very people who are going to be losing their jobs? And they say, yes, they do intend to cut them off of food stamps.
My God, now he's kicking people off food stamps. He's like a villain from a Charles Dickens novel. What's he going to do next? Take away Tiny Tim's crutches? I need those to stand up or I'll fall flat on my face. All jokes aside, he's a terrible person. Our government is massively failing. I said all jokes aside. Our government is massively failing us at a time when the nation is looking for guidance. So now it's up to the media, public health officials, workplaces, and individuals to take this seriously, practice caution, and lead where the president is failing. And whenever Trump decides to lie or blurt out something dumb, we all just have to shrug it off and say,
okay.
This has been a closer look.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Our guest is an entrepreneur, founder, and CEO of the lifestyle brand FUBU and one of the stars of Shark Tank, which airs Friday nights on ABC. His new book, Power Shift, Transform Any Situation, Close Any Deal, and Achieve Any Outcome, is available March 10th. Please welcome to the show, Daymond John.
How you doing?
I'm doing really good. You have had an incredible career. And I think early on in a career, especially an entrepreneur, you have to come up with unique ways to get your product out there. Yeah. And one thing you did early on with FUBU is you would give it to security guards.
I would give it just big black guys.
Okay. Yeah. So explain why that was your idea and why it worked so well.
I had to build influence in the neighborhood. And if I went over to LL Cool J or Run DMC, everybody was approaching those guys. They didn't want to wear it. If I tried to put it on the cool kids with the funny mustaches and the tight jeans, they would wear it one time. The big guys, they didn't have anything to wear that was fashionable. Either white shirts or black shirts, or cost a lot of money for them to get something custom. But once I gave it to them, they would wear it 10 times a month because they felt fashionable. And after a year, those guys were in front of all the red ropes. They were in front of all the stages. They were all the bodyguards. Some of these rappers would say to me, what am I, chopped liver? Right?
Yeah.
Because I was giving it, and I was surrounding them with the logo. They started to get used to it. And then the big guys felt important because they would say, you want one of these shirts? I'll hook you up with the little guy that with the shirt. So I built up influence in it, and that's how I finally got a lot of the big rappers to wear the clothes.
And you talk about negotiation and relationships are very important. Is that something you cracked early on?
No, not really. I didn't realize the value of it until later on in my life when I realized what I was doing, when I was trying to add more value. People think negotiation is really just transactional, and it's not. It's What can I do for you? What's in your way to not get this accomplished? And some of this stuff is some of the stuff that you wouldn't believe that people really want, but you're so busy trying to get out what's on your mind and what you need that you don't listen to other people.
So do you think being a listener is one of the most important things you've learned?
Absolutely. You know, listen, I mean, there's an old saying that's really important. A lot of people screw up negotiations because they keep telling you this. I need a job. I need this. I need an investment. But there's a really great saying. 20% of the people don't care about your problems. The other 80% are really happy that you have them, right? So make sure you don't tell everybody your damn problems. I got my own problems.
And then, obviously, Shark Tank is a show that is a great deal of listening. Mark Burnett found you for this show because you were on the Kardashians a couple of times.
I was managing the Kardashians. Managing product placement in their shows, right? And they said, well, you can't do any other show but ours. And then Khloe Kardashian found out I was going to turn down Shark Tank because I was working with the girls. And she fired me.
As a favor?
As a favor. And and now Kris Jenner is in my new book, and I had talked to her about how I was placing stuff in videos, and she went and took it to a whole nother level on social media and all this new stuff that was coming around.
And Bombas Socks is that a company that you found via Shark Tank, yes?
Bombas Socks is on Shark Tank, and it's the number one invested product in Shark Tank history.
Wow.
So that shows my other sharks. Thank you. Thank you. I invested in it so that it proves that my other sharks are underachievers. And if you ever see them, just make sure you remind them of that. I said that on national television, didn't I?
Yeah, absolutely. Fifth book
Fifth here. Book, yes, Power
You Shift. Talk about, explain what you mean by a power shift.
So power shift is not a negotiation directly at that time. You have to build influence, then you have to negotiate, like we were just talking about, and then you have to really value that relationship. You get way more out of that. And that's whether you're trying to get a job or trying to get the remote control away from your significant other or trying to get an investment. But people think it's purely just that one time of the negotiation. So if you meet me in the elevator and you spend 90 seconds with me and you tell me a little bit about yourself, you couldn't have time to build influence. But I'm going back out of the elevator and I'm looking on my social media platform to see what you've been doing and what influence you've built over the course of the last 10 years. And that's when I'm making a decision if I'm going to call you or not.
That's fantastic. Is this something, this entrepreneurial spirit, was this something you had at a very young age? Do you think the people around you would have said that this was a path they predicted?
Well, yeah, I was doing this since 6 years old, and I always had a business at 6 years old, maybe 10 years old.
What was your six-year-old business?
When I was 6 years old, I was in first grade, and I realized when the boys like the girls, you know how they show them? They try to knock their teeth out, right?
Yeah.
So I figured there's got to be a way I can make a profit off of this. So I would scrape the paint off the pencils and paint the names of all the prettiest girls in school on the pencils. And I'd say to the guys, you just buy this box of pencils from me, you can sit with the girls at lunch and give them all the pencils and get to talk to them. Then the boys would try to knock my teeth out. But then I found out about this word called vanity. I found out the girls would pay 2 times the amount of money for the same exact pencils with their names on it. So I started selling the pencils to the girls.
That's fantastic. You cut out the middleman.
Exactly. Yeah. And by the way, I was stealing the pencils from the guys, so my cost of goods was zero.
Oh, my goodness. Fantastic. You got a foothold early on,
exactly.
Leveraging. Hey, man, thanks so much for being here. It's so great to talk to you. I really appreciate it. That's Damon John, everybody. Power Shift is available tomorrow.
Hey, this is Kevin from Late Night. We are backstage with Damon John.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
This is your fifth book.
Fifth book.
What inspired you to write this book? What was the idea behind Power Shift?
I think it was that a lot of people they either know somebody or themselves. They feel stuck and they feel like either somebody has to issue them power or somebody's in the way or somebody has to give them permission. So I wanted to give them actual steps that they could do right now, and I wanted to give them permission to empower themselves. And when they see me on Shark Tank and they see the thousands of pictures that I have witnessed, I've noticed that a lot of people, they can either, you know, advance themselves in life or fall short because of the ability to communicate and negotiate. I mean, that's the only thing that separates us from the animals, right? The ability to communicate, right? To build things or destroy things. And I wanted to give them plausible things that they can do today, whether at home or whether at the office, to take back power and make that change they want in their life.
Do you find with people that they're not sure where to begin? They have an idea for something, or they have an idea for a change that they want to make, and they're just not sure where to start?
I find that two things. They don't know where to begin, and they really don't know their why and where they want to end up, right? And a lot of times the begin thing is it's an excuse that, or they've been, too many people have told them how hard things are or how you have to start big or go home, and they've tried that and they failed, and they felt like, I'm a failure. Until I can show them, no. You have to set a course. You have to take actionable steps. But you also want to know your why. Why are you doing it? Are you doing it because society has told you you should do it, because your parents told you that. Are you living for yourself? What are you going to do when you get to this point? When you lose that weight or get that guy or get that girl or get that job or leave that job or make that money, what are you doing it for? And a lot of people just don't know. So when they walk in the room to negotiate, they are just generally in the motion. I need money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you need money for? And I see it all the time on Shark Tank. I need money. I need money for advertising marketing. You're on Shark Tank. You just got a $2 million commercial. You should be shifting your money over to something else. No, I need to advertise the market. Why? Well, everybody told me I got to do commercials. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You're on a top show. You know what I mean? So a lot of times people just don't know their why and they don't know the path.
I was reading that you start every day and I think before you go to bed at night with goals. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. You know, I learned this process from the first time I read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I would also read other books like by Brian Tracy talking about goal setting. And I read 10 goals before I go to bed every night and when I wake up in the morning. And six of them expire in 6 months. The other four expire in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, and 20 years. The reason I read them before I go to bed is science has, you know, said that over 70% of the things you think about when you're sleeping is either something you fear or something you're hoping for. So I want that to be the thing that I'm hoping for mm-hmm. at night. And the reason I read them in the morning is every single time I read them, I take one step closer to every one of those goals. So my goals will range from health to family to faith and to business. So if I read them in the morning, I'm going to substitute that nice juicy egg and cheese sandwich with a green drink, right? I'm going to make one of those calls to my family members and say, when are we getting together? Because I haven't seen you in a little bit of time. And I'm going to start on this part of my business because I'm doing 100 things. But if this is a priority to increase my wealth or productivity, I'm going to make one call or two calls. That in 6 months, you get so much closer to those goals. But I set them so big that I never achieve them. Now, they're not obnoxious, but mm-hmm. if I said I was going to make X amount of dollars, or lose 10 pounds, argument's sake. But if I lose 8, when I reset the goal, I'm going to reset it to lose another 10. I may lose mm-hmm. another 3 or 4, but I got that much closer mm-hmm. instead of going backwards.
Right. You hear a lot of people talk about learning through failure. What sort of things have you learned with your businesses and companies along the way?
Ooh, very hard to find trusting people. Never close a deal right away. Give people a dating process and saying, here's your obligations, here's my obligations. If we meet here, then it'll activate this amount of shares, whatever the case is. Have financial intelligence. You've got to know how numbers work. Listen to your customer and start small so you can home in on what works the best. I would start off with 10 colors of t-shirts. I would later on find out due to my selling and just like real fashion, 60% of my sales were going to be black. Another 20% was going to be white. The other colors were in the middle. So what did I do? I reduced my 10 offerings down to 3, mm-hmm. right? Or 2, right? I thought 10 logos were good because I'm a designer. I wanted to design everything. No, they were buying the top 2 logos. Mm-hmm. I reduced them down. Once I prepared and did all those things, I homed in on something. And then I was able to present it to people. And just like when people come on Shark Tank, and we say, what's your sales? Your sales don't have to be $1 million. But yeah. you need to know who your customer is because you need to know they pay $79 for this. They like it an extra large. And it's the Midwest. And they're between 20 and 25. Because if you don't know who your customer is, I don't know who your customer is. So then the blind is leading the blind. I'm not giving you my money to do homework.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So those are the things I learned when I was coming up and so many other more things.
You grew up in Hollis, Queens.
Yep.
It seems like you took advantage of the up-and-coming rap or hip-hop scene during your time there. I mean, how did you know to capitalize on that? You know, what was that like really focusing in on that market?
Right. So back in the days, and even till today, a large portion of rappers came from Hollis, Queens. LL Cool J, Salt and Pepper, Run DMC, Lost Boys, Tribe Called Quest, whatever the case, 50 Cent, Ja Rule. And wasn't I was trying to take advantage of them. What it was is that, you know, I guess the reason why it was happening that so many people were coming from there is because if one person becomes a rapper, then maybe his friend's a bodyguard, and then maybe makes another person his DJ and or her DJ. And you started to see people escape the neighborhood not having to do anything illegal and doing something they love. Well, I couldn't rap and I couldn't dance. So how am I going to be part of this emerging scene that I loved? I wanted to be around it. Oh, by the way, at the same time, simultaneously, big designers were saying, we don't like rappers or we don't like breakdancers or black people or hip hop kids, whatever the case is. So I'm pissed off now, too. So now I know how I can get on the video sets and hang out with all the video girls and see the best rappers rapping. I'm going to make some shirts so that when they come and kick everybody off the set, I'm going to hold that shirt and say, I'm supposed to be here because I'm dressing the rapper, even though I wasn't at the time. But again, it was a passion thing. And everybody listening to us now, if they have their own business or they're doing a job, whoever's successful, they always have felt like something wasn't being addressed in the market, or they can do a better job at it, or they felt that they were giving joy to somebody. I don't know too many people, except in the finance business, who made money just to make money. And even the ones in the finance business love the way numbers work, love finding flaws in things, or whatever the case is. So it's really that I did it because I was so enamored and so in love with this emerging sound that I wanted to do anything I could to be around it.
You touched on it with Seth a little bit. You're an investor in Bombas socks.
Yeah.
What was it about that product that made it so attractive to you on Shark Tank?
Nothing. So that's why I think that, you know, that was one of the reasons that they're highlighted in my PowerShift book, because they were clear. They did their research on me. They knew that the only thing I did not want on Shark Tank to invest in was clothing companies, because I already had 10 clothing companies and 8 of them were dead. I went on Shark Tank so I can get other brands, so that when I talk to a big department, so I can say, all right, I'm in your clothing area, but I need some real estate in lotions and in kitchenware. So I'm looking for everything else. But when they did their homework, they realized one thing, that number one, I care about philanthropy and I'm on the Petco Foundation board and things of that nature. So they knew that their component of every sock that they sell, they give away one to the homeless. They knew I would relate to that, number one. Number two is they also knew that all my clothing companies, the reason they're dead is because I'm at the mercy of the retailers, and the retailers don't know what's going on. So now I'm dependent on other people, how they operate their business. But the Bombas socks guys were selling direct to consumer, because now with social media platforms and podcasts, right, you can sell directly to the consumer. So they knew that if I invested in them, they would we would have a symbiotic relationship where they would teach me how to help my businesses go direct to consumer, and also show me how to do philanthropy at the same time as operating a business. So when they pitched me on those ideas, and lo and behold, they got me to invest, and we both had a very symbiotic relationship. And that's really the thing of PowerShift. Sometimes people don't know what they're looking for. They don't know their why when you're looking at an investor. And if you can tell them all the advantages there are, then it would be great. If Bombas socks would have never worked out, me and the Bombas socks guys would have done another business together.
Well, Damon, thanks so much for being here. Shark Tank's on Friday nights now.
We move back to Friday.
Back to Friday 8
p.m.
8 p.m. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.